We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and Patrick Moore in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panellists to speak, if they can, for just a minute on the subject that I will give them without hesitating, without deviating from the subject, and without repeating themselves. And of course, as usual, they will try and bend the rules, and I'll try and see if I can interpret them. And that's where we will have some fun and score some points, and we're going to start the contest this week with Derek Nimmo. Derek, the subject is superstition. Can you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
There are many kinds of superstition. It seems to be a natural trait within most of mankind. All the time new ones are invented. For instance, during the Boer War, the superstition of lighting three cigarettes became avoided because...
And Patrick Moore has challenged us.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, Patrick? I would agree with that. So you get a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject, and there are 48 seconds left. The subject...
I'm not personally very superstitious. Of course, naturally...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
He started before you told him to.
Well, I don't think that's deviation within the game. And also, he is a guest. He doesn't play as regularly as you do, Clement. So I think we'll give him the benefit of the doubt and tell him to continue with superstition. And there are 46 seconds left, starting now.
Ignoring that interruption, which I take very badly indeed, once again, I will not repeat myself. I'm not allowed to do this. But, of course, when one is discussing superstition...
Kenneth Williams.
Two knots. I will not repeat myself. I'm not allowed to do this.
Oh, yes.
Very nasty. Very nasty, but I am bound to agree.
Yeah, it was just what I was going to say, Patrick, especially for a guest. But there we are, a correct challenge, so you get a point, Kenneth, and there are 37 seconds on superstition with you, starting now.
They are, of course, a load of rubbish. I have frequently had black cats come on my lap and other places. I have gone under ladders. Nothing adverse has occurred. I have never heard...
Derek Nimmo.
I have.
Three times.
Repetition.
Yes, I'm afraid you did say I have about three
times. Oh, that's very keen of you. Very good ears.
So, Derek, you've got a point for a correct challenge there. 18 seconds left. Superstition starting now.
On the border of Little Whittleton, near Gloucestershire, you find...
Patrick Moore.
Deviation. Little Whittleton is not near Gloucestershire.
It's 8 miles from Durham.
Well, it doesn't matter. It couldn't be near Gloucestershire.
It's nightmare.
Patrick, you have 16 seconds to take over the subject of superstition, starting now.
Superstitions date back for many years. They return to the time of the ancient Greeks, who were, of course...
Kenneth Williams.
Superstitions can't return to anything. They may well derive from something, but superstitions cannot go back
to anything. From the time of the ancient Greeks, perhaps. All right, Kenneth, 10 seconds, superstition starting now.
I should have had this subject in the first place, and it should have stayed with me since I am an authority.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Two shoulds.
Two shoulds. Oh, they are tough today. We've only just started. Kenneth, Clement, you have a correct time. 5 seconds on superstition, Clement, starting now.
If you walk on the second Tuesday in February down Piccadilly... In the room.
Well, the whistle that Ian Messiter blows so magnificently for us tells us that 60 seconds is up. And when that happens, whoever is speaking gets an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud. They've all scored points in that round, but you might be delighted and interested to hear that Kenneth Williams has scored most, and he's in the lead at the end of the first round. Kenneth, do you wish to go somewhere? He's, you're looking a bit agitated.
No. I should have gone before I came, actually.
All right, so, Kenneth, will you begin the next round? It's a lovely subject. It's making the best of bath time.
Oh, yes.
But there are 60 seconds for you to take over that subject. Sorry, start on that subject, beginning now.
Making the best of bath time, I suppose, means that you do, in this period of ablutions, something other than simply abluting. I frequently sing and can be heard... caroling away in my dulcet tones, and the neighbours have often remarked, what a lovely treble canto you make. And I said joyfully in reply, I am delighted that I brought such joy into your drab, mundane and dreary lives. Would that all were as lovely sounding as myself, but alas, such gifts have not been bestowed by nature upon us all, and those that have to tread a dreary path of dark, benighted droopiness can never be said to enjoy the sort of notoriety which I have achieved.
So Kenneth Williams started with the subject and finished with it. That hasn't happened for quite a long time.
I knew it was a conspiracy. They're all saying, don't challenge him, let him
no,
go
they
on.
Won't. Obviously, once you imagine you're in your bath, you're in your element, you've no audience, and you're absolutely
yes,
your
I am in my element, because I'm Piskies. Then, of course, bath is water, you see.
Yes, I see. You get 2 points, one for not being interrupted and one for speaking as the whistle went. Patrick Moore, the next subject is Becklin Neudbauer. Would you please talk about him in just a minute? If you can, starting now.
Becklin Neudbauer. In fact, this is something of a misconception, owing to the fact that they are not a two people. In fact, they are three. The object does, in fact, lie inside that gaseous cloud known to everybody, even those who are ill-informed.
Clement Freud.
I am ill-informed is not known to me.
Yeah, well, I think that is a good challenge. You said known to everyone, and Clement Freud established quite clearly that it's not known to him. And there are a few things not known to Clement.
I didn't believe that, of course.
Well, I think I think within the rules of the game, it's a correct challenge. So there are 44 seconds for Becklin Neudbauer with you, Clement, starting now.
I'm so amazingly ill-informed, I don't even know what Becklin Neudbauer means, and will talk instead on mixed bathing in the Antipodes.
This
challenged. Is something which is done.
He said quite clearly he's going to talk about something else.
Yes, so he was deviating from the subject, and you have a correct challenge, so you take back the subject with 36 seconds left, starting now.
Becklin is a German astronomer, a very nice man. I have known him intimately for a great many years. He conducts...
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
If he's known him intimately, it's deviation.
That is definitely.
If he's as known him as intimately as that, it must be deviation, but... He was not deviating from the subject on the card, and he has 31 seconds to continue, starting now.
He is, I may say, one of the pioneers in modern theoretical astrophysics. Some time ago, he went to a conference in Paris, and arriving in that delightful French city, he realized that the meeting to which he had been so carefully invited was, in fact, nothing whatever to do with the subject of the Becklin-Neudbauer theory. Now, this, obviously...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I would agree with that, Derek. So you have 11 seconds to talk about Becklin Neudbauer, starting now.
This is the typical way that astronomers want to justify their existence on this Earth. Other people, if they wanted to name something, they would call it the Jubilee Star. Yeah. Halley's Comet is a typical case that I was...
Patrick Moore, challenge, sure.
Halley's Comet is not Halley's Comet at all. It's Halley's Comet. It has nothing whatever to do with Becklin Neudbauer. Therefore, I claim deviation.
No, I don't think so, Patrick, because he can still mention Halley's Comet, he can still pronounce it incorrectly, but he can still apply it to the subject of Becklin Neudbauer, even
he
though...
He hadn't done
the,
so.
Even though... Well, he hadn't given
Come
much chance.
Come 3 seconds, Greg.
You only gave him half a second, actually. Derek, you got another wrong challenge, which is giving you a lot of points, and the half a second left on Becklin Neudbauer starting...
Stars in the night sky on this boring subject.
So at the end of that round, Derek Nimmo and Patrick Moore both gained a lot of points. They're now both equal in the lead, 1 point ahead of Derek Nimmo, and Clement Freud is in fourth place, an unusual position for him. Clement, will you begin the next round? The subject is eliminating paperwork. Would you talk on that for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
Eliminating paperwork is something which most people are now very keen on.
Patrick Moore.
I think I can claim hesitation there.
Yes, I think so. I think so, yes, keen.
And
rather a keen challenge, though, so early in the round. There are 54 seconds for eliminating paperwork, starting now.
To eliminate...
Clement Freud.
Appalling hesitation.
I would say an appalling challenge. 54 and a half seconds with you, Patrick, eliminating paperwork. Absolutely nothing to do with eliminating paperwork. I did make a mistake, Patrick, but Clement Freud has a correct challenge. There were 53 and a half, you were quite right. There are now 50 and one half seconds with you, Clement, starting now.
So instead of paperwork, what people now have are memory banks. They have computers of some kind or another, which is given information which is retained therein almost forever, or certainly until a button is pressed, eradicating such news as might have been fed into the damn machine. On a Tuesday afternoon in August, I personally eliminated paperwork by setting fire to my desk in the House of Commons. This was later attributed to the IRA, and very many police were called onto the scene.
Derek Nemo challenged.
A repetition of Derry.
Of what?
You must have listened extremely carefully because the audience were chuckling at Kenneth Williams' antics in response to...
Sorry, is that a new rule? Aren't we supposed to listen carefully?
No.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you are a wicked...
I won't listen.
Derek.
I'll put my button away.
Don't be so difficult. I was just about to give you a point for well listening, because the audience were chuckling so loudly, it was difficult to hear.
I couldn't hear what I was saying.
Just about to give you a point for well listening. What on earth is that, Artesian overhearing? Well listening? You mean listening well, don't you, dearie? Oh. An ignorant fool, and he sitting there saying, give me a point for well listening. A load of idiots all standing around wells listening, I suppose. Imagine.
At this stage, I claim that all three of my competitors have deviated grossly.
They are absolutely right, and they've been very rude to me as well. And the fact is, if you make a mistake, I don't draw the audience attention to it and go on forever about it, Kenneth. Shut your trap, please. Derek, you had a correct challenge on the very, and you have 18 seconds on eliminating paperwork starting now.
Because I've gone over to papyrus, those lovely weeds that you get from the Nile, and then you pump them down and write upon
the challenge.
A deviation? I cannot understand a word the last speaker is saying. I reserve the right to ensure. Thank you, lady. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes. I deserve the right to ensure the British public get clear diction. They have every right to it. They expect it, and I uphold the cause of clear diction. My diction's always been commended. People have said,
listen,
you're the finest diction. Eh?
So what's your challenge?
I don't know now.
So, we've enjoyed what you said, Kenneth. Derek keeps the subject, 14 and a half seconds, eliminating paperwork, starting now.
If you buy yourself a tape recorder and use the machine frequently, or use a telephone, you will find...
Clement Freud.
Use twice.
Two uses, I'm afraid. Clement, correct challenge, 8 seconds left for eliminating paperwork, starting now.
Perhaps my favourite way of eliminating paperwork is simply not to answer letters, which is a very dangerous thing to do, especially in my profession.
So, at the end of that round, Clement Freud got the point for speaking as the whistle went, and in descending order, with 1 point roughly separating them all, it's Derek Nemo, Patrick Moore, Clement Freud, and Kenneth Williams.
Oh.
Shame.
Derek, will you begin the next round, please? The perfect murder. Will you tell us something about that in... You don't look at me, please. I don't think he wants to murder me yet. Derek, 60 seconds, starting now.
The perfect murder must be when you get two doctors to sign a death certificate, put the corpse into a wooden box and let it slide away in the crematorium to be engulfed with flames.
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid that stumble was a hesitation. Derek, so Clement, you have 48 seconds. The perfect murder, starting now.
In literature, the perfect murder is one in which the author leaves no innuendo unturned.
Patrick Moore.
You can't turn an innuendo.
I think that's a perfectly legitimate challenge.
Can we have a vote on this?
No, there are 43 seconds. But the perfect murder, Patrick, starting now.
The perfect murder has yet to be committed. This, in a way...
Derek Nemo's challenge.
Deviation.
Well, I'm sure it has been committed, yes.
It could happen any moment.
I was about to come to that.
40 seconds, Derek, the perfect murder, starting now.
Many people consider that Maundy Gregory conducted the most perfect murder of this present century. He was a man who used to sell honours, £50,000 for a peerage, 10 similar for a knighthood, and so on. But what he did, he found this dear old lady who became, perhaps in her dotage, his mistress. After her mysterious death, her body was put into Bisham Churchyard, just below the level of...
Patrick Moore.
Oh, no.
Hardly any.
Well, all right, you all three enough. Think there was hardly any, so I don't account it. There are 14 seconds, the perfect murder, starting now.
So that each day the tide would rise above this wooden box, and therefore the poison which was inside the corpse would be...
Clement Freud.
We've had wooden before.
Yes, you did. You were quite right. And the perfect murder's back with you, Clement, and there are 7 seconds, starting now.
Creeping into the coal cellar with a hatchet and a sharp knife...
At the end of that round, Clement Freud eased forward a little into second place behind Derek Nimmo, Patrick Morstan in third place, and Kenneth is in the other place.
Oh.
And Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. There's a rather strange subject that EMS has brought for you this time. It's Hitler's big mistake. So will you tell us something about that idea in 60 seconds, starting now?
A lot of people have said it was starting the Russian offensive, but on the contrary, Hitler's biggest mistake was changing his name from Schicklgruber and leaving house painting. He was a bit slapdash, we know, and people complained, but with the advent of the non-drip paint, he could have had another go. He might have become another Oliver Messel. Give him a chance, they should have said. But no, he goes into politics, and what happens? Well, it is disastrous. It's the one sphere in which he is ill at ease and tries to
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
A lot of he is they're going on.
A lot of he is, I'm afraid, yes. I'm afraid there was a repetition of that. And, Derek has the subject, and there are 19 seconds on Hitler's big mistake, Derek, starting now.
Hitler's greatest mistake was not to attack the
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Yes, I would grant that hesitation.
Why,
very
is it deserved? Yeah, I'm glad you won that, Clement, because I thought he was staying with me.
16 seconds, Clement, on Hitler's big mistake, starting now.
It seems to me that Hitler's biggest mistake was going into the bunker 20 years too late. Otherwise, life would have been very much easier for all the people of Western Europe if only 1929 had been the date of descent. Then there would...
Well, at the end of that round, we have an interesting situation. Two of our regulars, Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud, are now equal in the lead. Patrick Moore not far behind, and Kenneth a little further. Patrick, will you begin the next round? The subject is being in the chorus. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute?
I have been in the chorus myself on a number of occasions. Once, I remember, with Morecambe and Wise. This was a most interesting experience. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
A Derek Nimmo challenge.
I'm sure Morecambe and Wise weren't in the chorus, Deviation. Their principal players. He said that he was in the chorus with Morecambe and Wise.
It's a long time ago. They were known as Schicklgruber before they changed their name.
Yes, even when you were on as a guest on their programme, you weren't in the chorus with them, were you, Patrick?
I think I was, but I'm not sure, so I'll give Derek the benefit of
the doubt. No, I don't. I think Derek's chance...
I will give the benefit of the doubt.
Yes,
I think so. I think it's all right. I think it's a dirty trick, really, but still, I mean, I'm a guest on this programme.
No, I don't think... If you can't give the benefit of the doubt on a dirty trick. He's got it. 52 seconds on being in the chorus, Derek, starting now.
Oh, I would have loved to have been a Cochrane young lady. If only I had been born of another sex, I would have danced with Anna Neagle, leapt around with Binny Hale, and seen Jessie Matthews in the full flower of her exquisite youth. Unluckily, I was born too late.
Patrick Moore was...
Repetition of born.
Oh, yes, you were born earlier on when you were talking about it. Early enough to do it. 34 seconds left, Patrick. Being in the chorus, starting now.
I would have liked to have been in the chorus of a Greek tragedy.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
I'm sorry, I was wrong, because I was going to say... He says he was in the chorus, now he's saying he would like to have been. It seems to contradict it, but then he went on to say it was a Greek tragedy, so we're assuming, of course, that that wouldn't be the one that included Morecambe and Wise. I therefore have to reluctantly withdraw my challenge and admit that I made a fool of myself.
Apology is accepted. I think that's very noble of you.
Yes, but you also get a point for an incorrect challenge, and There are 28 seconds on Being in the Chorus, Patrick, starting now.
The historians of old who wrote these magnificent chorus plays were nameless in some respects. Others are well painters, even though...
Derek Nimmo, challenge. I would agree with that hesitation. Yes, 20 seconds are now left for Being in the Chorus with you, Derek, starting now.
Two of the names that I would suggest, Mr. Battymore, are Plautus and Terence, who wrote extraordinarily well-constructed comedies in ancient Greece some many years ago. But Being in the Chorus, to me, sums up the bluebells, those people in Las Vegas, great dancing lines covered in feathers, bangles and beads. How I wish tomorrow I could fly across the desert to join.
He nearly stumbled at the last second, but he kept going. Clement Freud is now equal in the lead again with Derek Nimmo. Patrick Moore is a few points behind, and Kenneth is even fewer, even more. Kenneth is in fourth place. Derek, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is being found out. Would you talk on that in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
It really is awfully nasty when you're found out, isn't it? You've done such careful preparation to avoid the thing happening to you. You've laid cabbage leaves on the grass, you've covered them with weed killer and paperwork and all kinds of different forms of manure, both liquid and solid, and suddenly somebody wanders and stumbles upon it and lands absolutely right in it up to the... And then sometimes you do get what is known as found out. And this does give you a tremendous sensation. I find difficult to explise, but then when it happens to me...
Kenneth Williams.
I would like to know what explise means.
So would I. I'm so sorry. It's awful when you find yourself talking absolute rubbish about something you're in nothing about. You don't know how you're going to end a sentence.
No, well done, Derek. And if you can't end on a word you've used before, you try and combine a new creative word. Bad luck. Well done, Kenneth. You have 27 seconds for being found out, starting now.
It occurred when I was in a play and came to a scene in which I had not, frankly, done my homework, and I was found out because I didn't know the lines that I should have been saying. Consequently, I ad-libbed. Now, what I should have said was, "Are you not moved by action and victory?" Now, I couldn't think what that line was, you think?
I'm sorry, the time up is come, but we want to hear the rest of the story.
I just couldn't think what the line was, so I just had a go. They get it in the back of my mind. How you do. And I said, "What about the vixen and actory?" And they said,
"What is
that?"
Yeah.
Well, just before he got to the payoff of his story, the time-up came. I asked Ian not to blow his whistle so we could hear the payoff, but then Patrick challenged, which was after the time. Kenneth has a point for speaking when the whistle went, and he's increased his position in fourth place.
I think he's finally gone bananas, you know. I really have no idea what he's talking about.
I think he claimed universal.
It seemed to go on for about 15 seconds after he said it had finished. And then finally we had the...
Yes, I wanted to hear the payoff, and I think the audience... You like to hear the payoff of Kenneth's story, didn't you? The audience are with me. We're all bananas in Derek Nimmo's mind. There we are. Kenneth, the subject, your turn to start again, and the subject is my sensations. So will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
My sensations are enormously heightened when salivation occurs, and the result is siccative, to say the least. In extremely cold weather, I'm covered in these appalling goose pimples and have been likened, the skin, to the surface of a porcupine. They are very acute in the taste buds. You've only to give me a Viennese pastry and everything starts to go. My adrenaline is whizzing all round the system and I can hardly contain myself. I've been known to drool. People have said, "Hello, you're drooling." I can feel it all over the table.
Patrick Moore,
one Viennese pastry and he's gone, which is true.
No, Patrick, you challenge.
Yes, challenge. Is drool and drooling a repetition?
No, you see, if you challenge to give it away, he gets another point. No, he said drool and drooling.
Yes,
so,
I accept that.
Kenneth, you had an incorrect challenge, another point, and you're creeping up. I don't think you have much hope, but carry on. There are 15 seconds left, starting now.
I would like to tell you all that I am a blood donor and they frequently shove needles in my arms to test the blood before they actually take.
Perignum challenge.
Blood.
Yes, no, I'm afraid.
You should have interrupted because it's a plug for the being a blood donor. You see, it's a cause we should all advance.
No, your friend has come to your help beside
you. Oh, yes, frankly.
Well, blood donor, you see, hyphenated.
Oh, that's true, yes. Blood donor is hyphenation, isn't it?
Yeah. This surely is the same as drool and drooling.
No, drool and drooling is two different words. So, Kenneth, you keep going, and there are 8 seconds on my sensation starting now.
Well, I come out of there feeling as I've been in the arms of a vampire, a pint less in my system, and of course I'm reduced to a
Clement Freud is challenged.
It's repetition of system.
Yes, you did mention your system before. As much as we like to hear about your system, you have kept...
Well, I was trying to keep it regular, you see.
Well, you've done magnificently, and Clement's come in just before the end with 1 second to go on My Sensation, starting now.
My Sensation is Kenneth Williams.
Well, I'm afraid we have no more time to play Just a Minute, so let me give you now the final score. Kenneth Williams, who did so magnificently on that last round, telling us all about his sensations, he came from absolutely nowhere... to finish in fourth place. But, which isn't really fair. It's probably my little way of getting back at Kenneth, but because he did actually come within 1 point of Patrick Moore, who is our guest and didn't quite catch up with our two leaders. And Clement, coming in just very cleverly at the last second there, managed to make sure that he got 1 point ahead of Derek Nimmo in second place and make him our winner this week, Clement Freud. So, we have to say goodbye. I have to say that I do hope that you've enjoyed the programme this week and will want to tune in again at the same time next week. Until then, from all of us here, playing this delightful game, bye-bye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.